amazing day. Hello, this is Judy, and for the next hour, I will be reading from the Toronto Star edition of October 27th, 2025 on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. I will be reading selected articles, and I will do my best to pronounce names, yet if I do not, please forgive me. Thank you so much. So the first article I will be reading today is from the business section. And the title of the article is Budget to Include Millions to Help Foreign-Trained Workers Get Credentials Recognized. The government will also be spending an additional $75 million over 3 years to increase the Union Training and Innovation Program, which supports union-based apprenticeship training and skilled trades. And it's there's a picture of the a clock with the Canadian flag, and underneath the caption states, the Foreign Credential Recognition Action Fund will be included in next week's federal budget and was announced Monday by Federal Jobs Minister Patty Hajdu, H-A-J-D-U, and Secretary of State for Labor John Ceruselli, C-E-R-U-C-E-L-L-I. And that picture was taken by Sean Kilpatrick of the Canadian Press, and it's a file photo. And this article was written by Josh Rubin, business reporter. The federal government will spend $97 million over the next 5 years to help workers trained in foreign countries to get their credentials recognized in Canada, and says it will give an additional $75 million to expand a fund that supports union-based apprenticeship training and skilled trades. The Foreign Credential Recognition Action Fund will be included in the next week's federal budget, which was announced Monday by Federal Jobs Minister Patty Hajdu, H-A-J-D-U, and Secretary of State for Labor John Ceruselli, C-E-R-U-C-E-L-L-I. The fund will be paid for out of the existing government money and doesn't represent increased spending. The government will also be spending an additional $75 million over 3 years to increase the Union Training and Innovation Program, which supports union-based apprenticeship training and skilled trades. The government also announced it will introduce legislation aimed at lessening the use of non-compete clauses in contracts for workers in federally regulated sectors, including finance and transportation. The government also announced a temporary federal tax credit of up to $1,100 for personal support workers. And it states, this is a developing story, and Josh Rubin is a Toronto-based business reporter. The next article is titled, Toronto Food Bank Saw More Than 4 Million Visits in the Last Year, Including Those Working Multiple Jobs. The number is one of the key findings in the annual report by the Daily Bread Food Bank and North York Harvest Food Bank released Monday. And there's a picture of volunteers and workers, people helping sort food during one of the Daily Bread Food Bank's spring food sorts. And that photo was taken by Nick LaChance of the Toronto Star. And this article is written by Madis Habanina, and it's Mahdis Habinina of the City Hall Bureau. Torontonians are turning to food banks more often and for longer periods of time, with even those working multiple jobs who have post-secondary degrees seeking their support. These are some of the key findings in this year's, in quotes, Who's Hungry report from the Daily Bread Food Bank and North York Harvest Food Bank released Monday, an annual study that exposes the deepening crisis of food insecurity and poverty in Toronto. These aren't, quotes, problems with just one sector of the population. These are people who are employed, two-parent families, single-parent families. This has affected every community from coast to coast to coast, said Kirsten Beardsley, CEO of Food Banks Canada, in an interview. Toronto Food Bank saw the saw more than 4 million visits from April 1, 2024 to March 31, according to the report, more than half a million since last year's report and a whopping 340% increase since 2019. In quotes, "More and more working-age folks have to come into the food bank," said Neil Etherington, Etherington, CEO of Daily Bread Food Bank, in an interview. Of the roughly 300,000 food bank clients that make up the millions of visits, 65% were of working age and 57% had a post-secondary degree or a higher form of education, showing poverty is becoming harder to escape. While nearly half the respondents' households had at least one person who was employed either part-time or full-time, 35% of those employed worked multiple jobs and 72% said they would work more hours if they were available. Food insecurity has risen dramatically in Toronto, and there's a graph and it states for the growing number of people, affordable housing is out of reach, income supports fail to meet basic needs, and full-time work no longer protects against food insecurity, according to the Who's Hungry 2025 report. And it just shows in the graph the rise in people visiting the food bank from 2006, and in 2024, it was 4,124,313 people. And the source of the graph is the Daily Bread Food Bank and North York Harvest Food Bank. The vast majority of those clients also live in unaffordable housing, which means their housing expenses are taking up, quote, far more than 30% of their income, said Beardsley. Even one extra bill can force low-income earners to turn to food banks regularly. It's a compounding problem, in quotes, she said. In quotes, there's no climbing out of a hole when every month you're finding yourself further and further behind. Almost a quarter of Torontonians are turning to food banks, spent their entire income on housing. In quotes, you pay your rent, you have nothing, and now you're 100% dependent on friends, family, and charity. It's obscene, in quotes, said Heatherton. More than half of the food bank clients missed a meal to pay for something else, the report said. One in four clients were children. The report was released a day after Housing Minister Rob Flack walked back changes that Premier Doug Ford's government was considering in a new bill last week that advocates say threatened tenant protections and rent control in Ontario. Bill 60, the, in quotes, Fighting Delays, Building Faster Act, could, in practice, eliminate security of tenure. In quotes, residents expect stability and predictability in Ontario's rental market, and now is not the time to consider changes to this system, Flack wrote Sunday evening in a statement on X. Mayor Olivia Chow pointed out on X that the rest of Bill 60, in quotes, still includes an erosion of renters' rights at the, in parentheses, landlord and tenant board, as well as less compensation for a tenant evicted through no fault of their own. Beardsley said government should be putting in place more protections and supports for tenants, especially low-income renters, not eroding them, considering 70% of food bank users are market renters. In quotes, rent eats food, she said. You, in quotes, you can't say to your landlord, hey, I'm going to take a couple days off this month. But what people are doing is taking a couple days off or more of their food budgets, skipping meals, compromising on nutrition, and turning to community organizations like food banks to make it all work. Meanwhile, more than 80,000 Ontarians were homeless in 2024. Yes. In Toronto specifically, more than 15,400 residents were estimated to be without housing on a single day of the year, more than double what a city survey found in 2021. Though possibly due to an undercount due to pandemic restrictions. In quotes, it used to be that unhoused individuals weren't coming to the food bank. They didn't have areas to, quote, to cook, said Heatherton, who added that Daily Bread is now preparing thousands of ready-to-eat meals every week on top of other non-perishables, In quotes, it is one of the fastest growing segments. Food banks weren't set up to be the permanent backbone of people's lives, Beardsley said. In quotes, we were supposed to be a short-term solution. You lose your job, the community can come together through a food bank much quicker than any government support. But now, too many people rely on the system because a growing number of people cannot attain affordable housing. Income supports fail to meet basic needs, and even full-time work no longer means being financially stable, the report says. As well, for the first time since 2020, the majority of food bank visits come from returning clients rather than new ones. This means poverty levels either aren't changing or are worsening. Today, the report said that more than 1 in 10 Torontonians rely on food banks regularly when money runs low, the same statistic from last year's report and the year before. In 2022, that number was 1 in 20. Imadis Habina is part of the Star City Hall Bureau based in Toronto. You can reach her via email at, okay, it's M-H-A-B-I-B-I-N-I-A, the at symbol, thestar.ca. The next hour is an opinion editorial, and it says, cherish these Blue Jays, Toronto. There are few things more precious than collective joy. The Blue Jays' run to the World Series this fall felt so precious. It has been joyful, improbable, occasionally profane, and above all, it has been collective. We are sharing this moment as a city. And there's a picture of a baseball game in a baseball field, and underneath it, the caption reads, fans cheered during the first inning of World Series Game 2 against the Toronto Blue Jays and Los Angeles Dodgers at the Rogers Center in Toronto on Saturday. And that picture is taken by Arlen McDorey, M-C-D-A-D-O-R-E-Y, of the Toronto Star. And this article is written by the Star Editorial Board. It is a cliche of city leaving that is nonetheless true. There are, in everyday life, fewer places more lonely than a crowd. It's simple enough to share space, after all. And we share this city with so many people. It's much harder to actually share, to look up from our phones, to step out of our cars, to push through the barriers we've built. It's much easier to risk another cliche, to be islands unto ourselves. 7 million people in the GTA living 7 million lives, physically together, so often alone. That's why the Blue Jays' run to the World Series this fall has felt so precious. It has been joyful, improbable, occasionally profane, but above all, it has been collective. We are sharing this moment as a city. Mothers and sons, fathers and daughters, strangers on the street, new friends in the office, old friends at the bar. We are experiencing this joy together. When George Springer hit the go-ahead home run in the seventh inning of Game 7 against the Mariners last week, he created a new core memory for this city. There are 9-year-olds in Toronto who will remember for the rest of their lives being woken up by their mothers and fathers just before midnight to hear them whisper, "We won. We won." So cherish this week, Toronto. Win or lose, the team has already given us a great gift. For at least another 3 games, we get to live and die on each Jeff Hoffman pitch, on every swing of Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s bat, and that's Guerrero, on Dalton Varsho's, Varsho, every diving catch. We can smile along with Ernie Clement, C-L-E-M-E-N-T. Scream at our screens like Max Schweitzer, S-C-H-E-R-Z-E-R, in quote, in parentheses. Maybe don't scream at your manager, though. Torontonians from more than 150 countries celebrating every major faith can pray together for the health of Bo Bichette's knee, B-I-C-H-E-T-T-E, knee. We can write ourselves into every story of this team, in quotes. It takes everybody every day, says manager John Schneider, said in the locker room after beating the New York Yankees in the division series. And that includes every one of you. Toronto is not always the easiest city to live. Home prices are too high. The traffic sucks. We don't all get along. And far too often we use politeness as an excuse to be cold to strangers, to colleagues, to would-be friends. The beautiful thing about a baseball game is that it offers time. There are moments between innings and batters when the tension rises and the action stops, when you can look around without missing a pitch and recognize where you are, who you're with. You can realize that for all its faults, this city, like the team, is a gift because of the people who live here, the ones who fight to make it better on every notch of the scale, in our schools and our parks, in our art galleries and concert halls, in our homeless shelters, food banks, bookstores, coffee shops, streetcars, and baseball diamonds. The little one a group of 10-year-olds is making right now as you read this, using their backpacks for bases and a shoe for home plate. And the big one downtown, where the hot dogs are steaming and the Blue Jays are still making us proud. No one's saying it will all go our way. There may be more tough nights to come. Dodgers eight, Yushimo Yamamoto, Yamamoto, could get another start after all. But this team, like this city, runs deep. Edison Barger, Barger, rose off the bench and Davis Schneider's couch to bang home a grand slam in game one. He has 25 teammates aiming to do something just as special Monday night in LA. It takes everybody every day. So take this World Series for what it is, a chance to be together, all of us. In fact, all of Canada, in heartbreak and joy, making memories that will last another 32 years. You will never know when a team like this will come along again. So watch them all, Toronto. You'll never see a bigger game in your life. So it states the Star editorial board is responsible for the editorial and op-ed pages, as well as content on the opinion section of thestar.com. That includes editorials, letters to the editor, columns, opinion articles by guest commentators, and multimedia features on thestar.com opinion section. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Toronto Star on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. This next article is under the section of real estate, and it states Ford government walks back controversial plan to allow tenant evictions when leases expire. The announcement Sunday afternoon comes after a wave of outcry from renters and housing experts. And there's a picture of a sign that it says now renting, and it says a rental sign in Toronto's Liberty Village. And the photo was taken by RJ Johnston of it's a Toronto Star file photo. And this article is written by Joshua Chong, C-H-O-N-G, arts critic and reporter. Following outcry from renters and housing experts, the Ontario government is walking back a controversial proposal that could have scrapped the province's, in quotes, security of tenure rules, permitting landlords to evict tenants once leases expire. Housing Minister Rob Flack announced Sunday afternoon that the government will not move forward with the changes, which were outlined in a bill introduced Thursday. In quotes, residents expect stability and predictability in Ontario's rental market, and now is not the time to consider changes to the system, Flack said in a statement posted on X. In quotes, as such, we have decided not to proceed with consultations on potential changes to month-to-month leases. The bill, the, in quotes, Fighting Delays, Building Faster Act, could have allowed landlords to, in quotes, adjust tenancy arrangements based on market conditions, personal needs, or business strategies, according to a technical briefing. The government argued that more flexibility around leases would bring additional rental units to the market. The proposal, however, would have effectively upended the province's longstanding, in quotes, security of tenure protections, which allow renters to remain in a rental unit after a lease period ends, so long as they adhere to the Residential Tenancies Act and original lease agreement. it would have affected about 1.7 million renter households in Ontario, making up 30% of provincial households, including 558,000 renter households in Toronto, which represents about half the city. Almost immediately after the bill was introduced, tenant right advocates slammed the proposal, saying tenants would have no protections from eviction once their lease period ends. Renters, they argue, would be forced to renew their lease at the end of the period, at which point landlords could raise the rent by whatever amount they want. In quotes, the premier wants to make it easier for people to be evicted from their homes. NDP's shadow housing minister, Catherine McKenney, MCKENNEY, said in a statement Friday in response to the proposal, in quotes, thousands of workers and families across the province are already on the brink, and Bill 60 would be devastating. This would lead to mass evictions. Toronto's mayor, Olivia Chow, said in a post on X that she was relieved the Ford government is no longer considering the changes, in quotes, which would have been catastrophic for the 50% of Torontonians who rent their homes and a victory for large corporate landlords. The proposed legislation comes after the Doug Ford government previously did away with rent control for all units occupied after November 15, 2018, allowing landlords to raise prices beyond the annual rate limits. In a statement issued Sunday, FLAC said the government will still move forward with, in quotes, common sense reforms, including by, in quotes, restoring balance to the landlord and tenant board and keeping down the system. This next article is titled, What Are Toronto Residents' Top Concerns for Their Cities? Here's what a new poll reveals. Almost all major crime indicators are down in the city compared to last year. The public opinion survey conducted by Liaison Strategies also found that over half of Torontonians approved of the overall job Olivia Chow is doing as mayor. And there's a picture of, it has in the back, police officer, and it says, police processed the scene of a fatal shooting in an alley in the Lawrence Heights neighborhood in North York in July. And this is a file, Toronto Star file photo, taken by Lance McMillan, M-C-M-I-L-L-A-N. And this article is written by Mahdis Habibana, M-A-H-D-I-S, H-A-B-I-B-I-N-I-A, of the City Hall Bureau. Torontonians have replaced affordable housing with crime as a top concern in the city, according to a new poll, despite almost all major crime indicators being down in the city compared to last year. The public opinion survey conducted by Liaison Strategies and shared with the Star also found that of the 1,000 Torontonians surveyed between October 22nd and 23rd, over half approved of the overall job Olivia Chow is doing as mayor, less than 1 year from Toronto's next municipal election. With crime, in quotes, when we think about the dormant themes of the provincial election, the federal election, and the news cycle, it certainly favors things that go wrong versus things that go right, said David Valentine, V-A-L-E-N-T-I-N-E, principal at Liaison. He also pointed out that the polling unintentionally took place at a time when various justice reforms were making headlines, likely placing safety in front of people's minds. The poll found that 32% of the respondents believe the most important issue facing the city is crime, and 17% said it is affordable housing. Homelessness and transit each make up 12% of the responses. Meanwhile, 9% said traffic and 8% said taxes were the most important issue. Section, crime rates, in quotes, feelings towards crime are not dependent on statistics a lot of the time, Valentine said. While violent crime has generally gone up in Canada over the last decade, the country has seen signs of a downturn in recent years. compared to around this time last year, Toronto police data shows shootings and firearms discharges are down 40% and homicides dropped by 51%, holding below the average since 2020. Meanwhile, car thefts have decreased by 33% and break-and-enters decreased by 13% in the city. Assault rates, however, have been on a steady incline since 2014. Crime rates on the TTC have been somewhat stagnant since the city and police launched their public dashboard in 2023. Multiple criminological and social studies have analyzed the, in quotes, risk-fear paradox, where people's fears of crime remain high or increase despite falling crime rates. Typically, researchers have pointed to a couple of factors that cause this disconnect: media giving prominent coverage to the most sensational stories and rare tragedies, and when elected officials use the fear of crime as a political tool or talking point. Councillors Brad Bradford, who will be running to replace Chow next year, Frances Nunziata, Nunziata, and James Pasternak, Pasternak, have all either said or generally depicted crime this year as running rampant or on the rise in Toronto. At an unrelated September 12th press conference, when asked in this context whether council members have a responsibility to accurately report to their constituents what is going on in Toronto, Chow said, in quotes, "Well, embellishment, exaggeration, it's a free country." Fears over crime can match victimization rates, however, in cases such as marginalized community members being targets of rising hate crimes or the concentration in high-risk neighborhoods. Crime as a talking point by elected officials, whether it paints an accurate picture or not, can be popular or powerful in the short term, but there is a ceiling on what the rhetoric will accomplish, Valentin said. If crime is all-encompassing and really terrible and the city is falling apart, eventually voters may ask what the mayor or candidates do to change it. The mayoral race. Chow's approval rating saw a slight uptick in October, increasing to 52%. It is still a far drop from the 70% honeymoon period when she first was elected in 2023, but Valentine said that's not abnormal. Her overall approval rating this year has hovered at or slightly above 50%. Given the polling will inevitably change once platforms are released and candidates announce themselves, it would be perfect for Chow to be up for another 10 to 20 points, Valentine said. In quotes, "I will point out, at this point in time, in his mayoralty, John Tory historically was closer to 60%, he continued. In quotes, "The question will be, is the field divided? Is Chow able to ride that middle path up? Or is she going to face a really strong challenger?" Liaison's poll put Chow, who's yet to announce if she will run again, up against Tory Bradford and Anthony Fuey, F-U-R-E-Y, with Chow holding a small lead over Tory among all voters, 38% versus 32, and decided voters, 42% versus 36. Bradford, the first and only individual so far to publicly announce his mayoral bid, received 11 and 12% respectively. Tory is still mulling a decision. 10% of all voters in the liaison poll were undecided. The obstacle for all contenders like Bradford and Fury is that both Chow and Tory have name recognition as the incumbent and former mayors, both with history at other institutions of power. If Tory doesn't run and Bradford is able to consistently raise his levels of support, including polling past 25%, Bradford, in quotes, "will be in a pretty good position in a year," Valentine said. What's more, in this survey, there is less of a gender divide amongst voters choosing between Chow and Tory. In quotes, The interesting thing is your geography dictates more who you're going to support than your gender or your age in this survey, Valentine said. Meanwhile, more Torontonians think the city is headed in the wrong direction, 48% compared to July's 44% and last February's 40%. In quotes, you can think the city is moving in the wrong direction and not blame the mayor for it, Valentine said, adding, there are more likely people who don't blame Chow for issues that are the responsibility of other levels of government, such as immigration or refugee levels. Plus, in quotes, when we see Doug Ford taking a keen interest in the City of Toronto issues, it also blurs the lines as to who's ultimately responsible for what issues. Other issues in cities. When it comes to social media echo chambers, they work in both directions, Valentine said. They can convince people that someone is widely popular or wildly loathed. Chow falls somewhere in the middle. In the context of other big city mayors nearby, Chow falls towards the lower middle, beating only Ottawa Mayor Meg Sutcliffe's SUTCLIFFE's 50% approval rating, Mississauga Mayor Carolyn Parrish's PARRISH 45%, and Hamilton Mayor Andrea Horwath's HORWATH 41%. From least to most, Chow fell behind approval ratings for mayors in Windsor, Brampton, Vaughan, London, Kitchener, and Markham. When asked about how Chow is handling Ford's intentions to ban speed cameras, 48% said they approved, 25% disapproved, and 27% weren't sure. As for federal voting intentions, over half of Torontonians said they would vote for the Liberal Party if an election were held today, and 29% said they would vote for the Conservation Party. The Toronto poll has a margin of error plus or minus 3.09 percentage points, accurate 19 times out of 20. And it states that Mandis Habina is part of the Stars City Hall Bureau. To reach her via email, you can email her at mhabibina, the at symbol, the star, period, C-A. You are listening to reading of articles and features from the Toronto Star on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. And this is under federal politics, and the title of this article is Doug Ford Has No Regrets About Viral Reagan Ad That Angered Donald Trump. While Ontario has paused the $75 million campaign after Ford spoke with Prime Minister Mark Carney, the Premier insisted Monday it was effective. And there's a picture of Prime Minister Mark Carney shaking hands with Ontario Premier Doug Ford after the two made an announcement at the Darlington Energy Complex in Courtois, Ontario on October 23, 2025. And that picture was taken by Laura Proctor of the Canadian Press. And this article was written by Robert Benzie, B-E-N-Z-I-E, Queen's Park Bureau Chief, and Tonda McCharles, M-A-C-C-H-A-R-L-E-S, Ottawa Bureau Chief. An unrepentant Premier, Doug Ford, said that he has no regrets about Ontario's anti-tariff advertising blitz that derailed Canada's trade talks with the U.S. President Donald Trump. While Ontario has paused the $75 million campaign featuring former President Ronald Reagan after Ford spoke with Prime Minister Mark Carney, the Premier insisted Monday it was effective. In quotes, it was our intention to get the message out. It was the most successful ad in the history of North America. Ford boasted during the legislature's daily question period, saying that it received $300 million to $400 million of earned media over the past several days. In quotes, we had over one billion impressions, meaning 1 billion views, and it's still counting from around the world, he said, noting the 60-second spot went viral and, in quotes, every outlet small, large, medium in the US was talking about how it's better to get rid of any of the tariffs. In quotes, President Trump wants to attack our country, but I'm never going to never take a backseat to President Trump. Ford pointed out, in quotes, we've been waiting for this deal month after month after month after month, so it's unlikely the ad was solely to blame for the president's ire. Speaking in Kuala Lumpur, Kuala Lumpur, Carney said the Ontario ad was pivotal in triggering Trump's decision to end trade negotiations and threaten a new 10% tariff. But he politely did not blame Ford outright or criticize him in any strong terms. And there's just a visual picture. It's from the Canadian Press. And the words say, U.S. President Donald Trump announced he was ending trade talks with Canada over an Ontario government and campaign related to tariffs that feature clips by former U.S. President Ronald Reagan. And the photos by the Canadian Press. Still, Carney underscored that it is the federal government's responsibility to lead trade negotiations and that his government deliberately made a choice not to advertise against tariffs in the U.S. He also dismissed any suggestions that the U.S. was unhappy more broadly with the way trade negotiations have been going. In quotes, we were close to a deal, Carney said in French. In quotes, then there were the ads and everything changed. The position of the American government changed. That's obvious. It's not more complicated than that. The Prime Minister's remarks appear calibrated to not blame Ford, at the same time allow Trump the ability to do so. Aboard Air Force One en route to Japan, Trump again ripped into the ad, its portrayal of Reagan, whom he said wasn't strong, in quotes, on finance, on trade. And he said it doesn't matter if it was a provincial or federal ad because Carney knew about it, in quotes. I don't care whether it's provincial or Canada itself. They all knew exactly what the ad was. The Prime Minister knew, everybody knew, the Prime Minister knew what the ad was, Trump told reporters. The president said, in quotes, I don't want to meet with him. I'm not going to be meeting with him for a while. I'm very happy with the deal we have right now with Canada. We're going to let it ride. Carney, who is politically and personally close to the Ontario premier, struck a sanguine note, in quotes, in any complicated high-stakes negotiation, you can get unexpected twists and turns, and you have to keep your cool during those situations. It doesn't pay to be upset. Emotions don't carry you very far. And we have made progress, to repeat, and we stand by the progress that has been made. In quotes, we were ready, when appropriate, to pick that up, so I'll just re-emphasize that it is the responsibility of the government of Canada to have these negotiations, and others will have opinions. And others welcome free advice. Unsolicited advice is entirely appropriate. Every Canadian is a stakeholder in these negotiations. He said that he had not spoken to Trump since his Thursday night move to call off trade talks, nor had Canada received any details about the latest 10% tariff threat Trump issued Saturday. In quotes, the president knows that I'm available. I'm available to speak to the president, and I always would be, as you would expect, said Carney. In quotes, we will both be at APEC, APEC. Canada is a member of APEC. I mean, we're meeting there, very much so, he said with a smile. Last Thursday night on social media, Trump blasted the Ontario ad featuring a 1987 pro-free trade speech by Reagan, saying it was, in quotes, egregious behavior and expressed fears it would influence deliberations of the U.S. Supreme Court on the validity of trade of tariffs. In quotes, they only did this to interfere with a decision of the U.S. Supreme Court and other courts. This is in all caps. Tariffs are very important to the national security and economy of the U.S. of A. based on their egregious behavior, in all caps, all trade negotiations with Canada are hereby terminated, he wrote. The ad, which had been airing on many U.S. networks, accurately quotes Reagan, an advocate of free trade and an opponent of the tariffs Trump has embraced. In quotes, high tariffs inevitably lead to retaliation by foreign countries and the triggering of fierce trade wars, Reagan says in the 38-year-old address. The result is more and more tariffs, higher and higher trade barriers, and less competition. Soon, because of the prices made artificially high by the tariffs that subsidize inefficiency and poor management, people stop buying. Then the worst happens. Markets shrink and collapse, businesses and industries shut down, and millions of people lose their jobs. In a part of the speech that is not included in the Ontario ad, Reagan, president from 1981 to 1989, says he had been promoting increased trade with then Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, M-U-L-R-O-N-E-Y. In quotes, that message of free trade is one I conveyed to Canada's leaders a few weeks ago, and it was warmly received there. In 1988, Reagan and Mulroney signed the first trade agreement that is a precursor to the current Canada-United States-Mexico agreement. On the ad itself, Trump says Monday, in quotes, Ronald Reagan loved tariffs. He used them sparingly. He made a mistake in that, and again, I was the biggest fan of Ronald Reagan, but on finance and trade, it wasn't his strong suit. But he liked tariffs, and they totally changed that to say that he didn't because they're catering to the Supreme Court because Canada's been ripping us off for a long time, and they're not going to rip us off anymore. Canada has been ripping us off for a long time. In quotes, one of the most difficult countries to deal with has been Canada. As much as I love Canada itself and the people of Canada, a lot of bad representatives, they did a fake ad yesterday. They were caught. The Ronald Reagan Foundation was the one that caught him, and it was totally the opposite of what was said. In quotes, so I don't like that. That's dirty pull. And let me tell you, they shouldn't have done it. They've apologized and they've said, we're going to take the ad down. Well, they did it, but they did it very late. They let it play for another two nights and now they took the ad down. So I don't know when it's going to kick in. We'll see, but I don't really want to discuss it. So Robert Benzie, B-E-N-Z-I-E, is the Star's Queens Park Bureau Chief and a reporter covering Ontario politics. And then Tonda, T-O-N-D-A, McCharles, M-A-C-C-H-A-R-L-E-S, is Ottawa Bureau Chief and a senior reporter covering federal politics. The final article of today is under business. Is buying a home that the good investment it once was? Why some are choosing to build wealth as lifelong renters instead? It's true that generations of Canadians have had successes investing in real estate or setting themselves up for retirement with home ownership, but the shifting landscape now begs the question, to rent or to own? And this article is by Manuel Vega, Manuela Vega, V-E-G-A, housing reporter. Despite the societal pressure to presume home ownership as a marker of success, buying a home is simply out of reach for many renters. The average GTA property still costs more than $1 million, and according to the recent Royal LePage survey, about 43% of first-time homeowners in Ontario will receive financial help to make their purchase. In quotes, unless you have family help or dual income, it's very difficult to enter the real estate market, says Toronto realtor Tom Storey, S-T-O-R-E-Y. And because home ownership has been so profitable for past generations, the expectations are that, in quotes, everyone should do it, and, in quotes, you'd be crazy not to, says personal finance expert Preet Bhanjere, B-A-N-E-R-J-E-E. But in today's market, that's not so obvious. It's not so obvious what the best approach is, he says. Home ownership may not generate the massive returns it once did. About 7% of all Toronto homes sold in the first half of the year sold at a loss, according to the recent data from House Sigma. It's true that generations of Canadians have had success investing in real estate or setting themselves up for retirement with home ownership, but the shifting landscape now begs the question, to rent or to own. Renting and owning each have their positives and negatives, but some experts say renting for life could pay off in the long run. Question, is home ownership still the lucrative investment it once was? Surrey notes that home prices are high and, in quotes, based on the information that we have in front of us right now, they're unlikely to rise at the rate they have over the past few years. There are a few questions for this, he explains. Interest rates are up from their historic lows, population growth is down due to tightened immigration policies, and there's a foreign buyer ban, all decreasing demand and causing home prices to soften. That means people hoping to make a profit from buying and selling a property might be disappointed. Additionally, due to higher interest rates, some landlords may not be able to charge rents high enough to cover their increased mortgage costs. For Francine Dick, financial advisor and author of, in quotes, Enjoy Your Latte, a home is first and foremost a home. In quotes, people who buy a home as an investment, they can get really dinged as we're seeing now, she says. Question, what if you just want a long-term home? A big reason someone may choose to own a home, even if they don't see it as an investment, is security and stability it brings, Dick said. Renting comes with a risk of eviction, even if you haven't done anything wrong as a tenant. For example, someone renting a condo could be forced to leave if the owner wants to move in. In parentheses, however, someone living in a purpose-built rental apartment wouldn't have to worry about that, Dick notes. Story adds that renters, especially those whose landlords are large corporations, are likely to get yearly rent increases, and since anything built after November 2018 is not rent-controlled in Ontario, the increases could be high. In quotes, they're not going to forget that after a year, they can increase your rent, he said. On the other hand, Dick said, someone may prefer, in quotes, the freedom of renting if they like to travel or don't want to worry about maintaining a property or if they want to be able to, in quotes, pick up and leave for a job. That's certainly the case for Banjeree, Banerjee, a lifelong renter who recently moved to the UK after living in Toronto for about 10 years. Renting allows for more job mobility, while homeowners are less likely to move, he says. Additionally, given Banerjee's busy schedule and his dislike of home maintenance, in quotes, the idea of just having one singular payment and not having to really worry about anything else is fantastic, he says. So, next segment, you're renting money when purchasing a home. There are seven costs involved with home ownership: a down payment, monthly payments, property taxes, home insurance, repairs, and maintenance fees if you live in a condo. In quotes, one of the many reasons why people like buying, regardless of the growth, is the asset that it's essentially a forced savings plan, Story says. The mortgage payment is split into two categories, principal and interest, and as you pay it off, in quotes, a certain percentage is going essentially into your own pocket, or your own net worth or wealth, he says. With the rent, meanwhile, none of the money goes back to you. It's simply going to your landlord, he says. Banjeree notes that, however, in quotes, when it comes to home ownership, you're renting money, so you're still a renter, even if you're a homeowner, until you've actually paid off that home. A couple years ago, some people had interest rates so high, in quotes, their mortgage payments didn't even cover principal. It was just covering interest, Banjeree said, and, in quotes, it was a much higher obligation than they had bargained for. Dick adds that having a mortgage paid off, in quotes, frees up a lot of cash flow, but it still leaves other costs, such as property taxes, utility bills, and maintenance fees. Homeowners might also spend money on renovations, in quotes, both necessary and desired, which can come with hefty, sometimes unexpected bills, she said. Additionally, Dick says she's seen many people heading into retirement with a large mortgage, in which case, in quotes, you have to look at your mortgage as your rent. the cost of renting for life. On the average, given the many costs that come with home ownership, owning a home is far more expensive per month than renting, Story says. To determine whether renting or owning is better for you, Banjiri suggests using a framework, which he credits to personal finance blogger John Robertson, in which you imagine two identical homes side by side, but one is for sale and one is for rent. The home for sale is priced at $1 million, while the home for lease is $1 a month. In this scenario, it is clear to everyone that it would make more sense to rent. However, if the home for lease was priced as $1 million to rent, it is clear that you would buy the house next door for $1 million. If you agree with those two scenarios, then you agree implicitly that there is some crossover point where the ratio of price to rent makes renting more attractive or it makes home ownership more attractive, Banjiri said. In some markets, home ownership is the obvious answer, but in others like Toronto, it's not the clear answer. While some see renting, where all the money goes to the landlord, as a sunk cost, in quotes, Dick said she agrees with the notion because, in quotes, people have to live somewhere and tenants have more freedom than owners. Why renting with financial discipline can put you ahead. Mortgage payments are typically higher than rent prices, and someone who has, in quotes, financial discipline to regularly invest while renting could set themselves up to be in good position financially, Story says. For example, someone who can afford to buy but chooses to rent could be, in quotes, further ahead if they invest the difference between the cost of renting and owning, he says. In quotes, for most Canadians over the last 30 years, it's been clear that buying has put them in a good position because of the growth of the asset, Story says. But, in quotes, if the asset price doesn't go up, perhaps the money would generate better returns in the stock market. Dick adds that if a renter were to invest the money a homeowner might spend on renovations, say $50,000 on a bathroom, in an RRSP or TFSA, in quotes, you can build on that and build that cash to support you in retirement. Banjiri says when he moved to his condo years ago in Toronto, the difference between the rent and mortgage for a unit was so big that it was, in quotes, a no-brainer. He should rent while investing in the stock market. In quotes, I'm an example of how it can work even in a market like Toronto where housing has done so well during that time. He says, in quotes, stock markets did pretty well too. For renting for life to pay off, it's important to invest, in quote, in a prudent manner over a long period of time, says Banjiri. Emanuela Vega is a Toronto-based housing reporter for The Star. So you've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the October 27, 2025 issue of the Toronto Star. Your reader has been Judy, and it's been an honor, and thank you so much for listening, and I appreciate you, and have a wonderful day.